Welcome to Zichu Daf Sim, my member by Ram Gold. All right, today Maseches Zvachim, Daf Lamed. The second parak called Zvachim Shekibu Daman. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, a Mishnah teaches that if one says, Harzu Tamur Z'Ola Tamur Shlamim, this animal is hereby designated as a substitute for an Ola, a substitute for a Shlamim. Reb Meir says it is fully an Ola, following his first phrase. Reb Yossi says that since it is impossible to say both simultaneously, if he originally intended to say both, Dvarav Kayamin, his words stand, and both Tamuros take effect. The Gemara asks if he says it should be Tamuras Ola v'Shlamim without saying Tamuras separately for Shlamim, would Rabbi Meir agree that both Tamuras take effect? If he would argue, even in this case, what if he said Lachasots, it should be halved between being a Tamuras Ola and a Tamuras Shlamim? Since it is a single statement, does Rabbi Meir agree that both Tamuras take effect? Or does he hold, even in this case, that the Tamuras Ola, which was mentioned first, takes effect first and its Kedusha spreads through the entire animal? Abai says Reb Meir agrees, in this case they both take effect, but Rava says Reb Meir argues even in this case. Point number two, Rava challenged Abai from our Mishnah where one had two intents during Shechita, Chutz Lizmano and Chutz Limkomo, which parallels a case of Lachatzotz, since the intents can be applied to different Kazesim and do not indicate a retraction. Still, Rabbi Yehuda holds that we follow only as first Machshava, and it is full Pigel and not considered mixed with Machshava of Chutz Limkomo. Abai responded, do you think Eino l'shchita ela basof, shchita is only considered shchita at the end of the act, in which case both machshavas would take effect simultaneously? It is not, rather, yeshna l'shchita metchila va'adsof. Shchita is considered shchita from the beginning until the end. Our Mishnah's case is where he said he is cutting the first simen with the intent of chutz l'zmano and the second simen for chutz l'mkomo. Because the two machshavas take effect separately, Reb Yehuda holds we follow the first machshava. Abai explains that parallel machlokes about dual machshavos by minchas to be where he burned the komets with the intent of chutz l'zmano and burned the lavona, the frankincense, with an intent of chutz l'mkomo. And point number three, Rav Dimi said that Reb Meir, who ruled that where one says, Harzo Tamuras Ola Tamuras Shlamim, the animal is only a Tamuras Ola, follows Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in our Mishnah that Tvos Lashon Rishon, give primacy to the first statement. So if the Chutz Lizmano intent preceded the Chutz Limkomo intent, it is full Pigel. Abai asked Rav Dimi, but Rabbi Bar Barachana said in Rabbi Yochanan's name that it is possible to limit Reb Meir and Rabbi Yossi's argument. If one said tachuzu, va'akachach tachuzu, this tumor's ola should take effect, and afterwards this tumor's shlamim should take effect, everyone agrees that only the tumor's ola takes effect. If he said la'tachuzu, elo imken chalazu, this should not take effect unless this one also take effect, all agree they both take effect. Specifically where he said tumor's ola, tumor's shlamim, Reb Meir reasons that had he intended to say both, he would have said tumor's ola vishlamim. Since he said Tamuras again, it indicates a retraction. Rav Yossi says that he intended to say both, but thought that saying a single Tamuras would make it half Ola and half Shlamim, so he attempted, erroneously, to make it fully Ola and Shlamim by saying Tamuras twice. Thus, Rav Meir does not necessarily hold Tvos Lashon Rishon. Rav Dimi replied that he disagrees with Rabbi Bar Barachana and holds they do argue about Tvos Lashon Rishon. So once again, the three points are, number one, a Mishnah teaches that if one says, Harzu Tamuras Ola Tamuras Shlamim, this animal is hereby designated as a substitute for an Ola, a substitute for a Shlamim. Reb Meir says it is fully an Ola, following his first phrase. Reb Yossi says that since it is impossible to say both simultaneously, if he originally intended to say both, Dvarav Kayamin, his words stand, and both Tamuros take effect. The Gemara asks if he says it should be Tamuras Ola v'Shlamim without saying Tamuras separately for Shlamim, would Rabbi Meir agree that both Tamuras take effect? If he would argue, even in this case, what if he said Lachasots, it should be halved between being a Tamuras Ola and a Tamuras Shlamim? Since it is a single statement, does Rabbi Meir agree that both Tamuras take effect? Or does he hold, even in this case, that the Tamuras Ola, which was mentioned first, takes effect first and its Kedusha spreads through the entire animal? Abai says Reb Meir agrees, in this case they both take effect, but Rava says Reb Meir argues even in this case. Point number two, Rava challenged Abai from our Mishnah where one had two intents during Shechita, Chutz Lizmano and Chutz Limkomo, which parallels a case of Lachatzotz, since the intents can be applied to different Kazesim and do not indicate a retraction. Still, Rabbi Yehuda holds that we follow only as first Machshava, and it is full Pigel and not considered mixed with Machshava of Chutz Limkomo. Abai responded, do you think Eino l'shchita ela basof, shchita is only considered shchita at the end of the act, in which case both machshavas would take effect simultaneously? It is not. Rather, yeshna l'shchita metchila va'adsov. Shchita is considered shchita from the beginning until the end. Our Mishnah's case is where he said he is cutting the first simon with the intent of chutz l'zmano and the second simon for chutz l'mkomo. Because the two machshavas take effect separately, Rabbi Yehuda holds we follow the first machshava. Abai explains the parallel machlokes about dual machshavos by minchas to be where he burned the kometz with the intent of chutz l'zmano and burned the lavona, the frankincense, with an intent of chutz l'mkomo. And point number three, Rav Dimi said that Rabbi Meir, who ruled that where one says, Harza Tumur's Ola, Tumur Shlamim, the animal is only a Tumur's Ola, follows Rabbi Huda's opinion in our Mishnah that Tvos Lashon Rishon, give primacy to the first statement. So if the Chutz L'zmano intent preceded the Chutz L'mkomo intent, it is full Pigel. Abai asked Rav Dimi, but Rabbi Bar Barachana said in Rabbi Yochanan's name that it is possible to limit Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi's argument. If one said tachuzu va'akachach tachuzu, this tumur oa should take effect, and afterwards this tumur shlamim should take effect, everyone agrees that only the tumur oa takes effect. If he said la tachuzu ela imken chalazu, this should not take effect unless this one also take effect, all agree they both take effect. Specifically where he said tumur oa tumur shlamim, remember reasons that had he intended to say both, he would have said tumur oa vishlamim. Since he said Tumuras again, it indicates a retraction. Ryosi says that he intended to say both, but thought that saying a single Tumuras would make it half Ola and half Shlami, so he attempted, erroneously, to make it fully Ola and Shlami by saying Tumuras twice. Thus, Rav Meir does not necessarily hold Tvos Lashon Rishon. Rav Dimi replied that he disagrees with Rabbi Bar Barachana and holds they do argue about Tvos Lashon Rishon. All right, so now we get our siman daf lamed, and our standard siman is malamed, and we use a rebbe for the siman. So here goes. The Tamur rebbe, who was showing his class what happens when one says, this animal should be halved between being a Tamur's ola and a Tamur's shlamim, was interrupted by a Talmud who said he just did shchita with both chutz l'zmano and chutz l'mkomo intents, and asked if it was similar, while standing in front of the blackboard where the words Tvos Lashon Rishon were written. Once again, slow motion. The Tamur Rebbe, that must be learned off Lamed, Malamed. The Tamur Rebbe, who was showing his class what happens when one says this animal should be halved between being a Tamur's Ola and a Tamur's Shlamim, which reminds the Gemara, asks, what if one said, Lachzos, this animal should be halved between being a Tamur's Ola and a Tamur's Shlamim? Since it is a single statement, does Rabbi Meir agree that both Tamuros take effect, or does he hold, even in this case, that the Tamur's Ola, which was mentioned first, takes effect and its Kedusha spreads through the entire animal? Abai says Rabbi Meir agrees in this case they both take effect, but Rava says Rabbi Meir argues even in this case. So the Tamur Rebbe, who is showing his class what happens when one says this animal should be halved between being a Tamur's Ola and a Tamur's Shlamim, was interrupted by a Talmud who said he just did shchita with both chutz l'zmano v'chutz l'mkomo intents and asked if it was similar, which reminds us the Gemara discusses whether two machshavos during shchita are like a case of lachesos. So the Tamur Rebbe, who is showing his class what happens when one says this animal should be halved between being a Tamur's Ola and a Tamur's Shlamim, was interrupted by a Talmud who said he just did shchita with both chutz l'zmano v'chutz l'mkomo intents and asked if it was similar, while standing in front of the blackboard with the words Tvos Lashon Rishon were written, which reminds us the Gemara brings Malchokas if Rabbi Meir's opinion is based on Tvos Lashon Rishon, giving primacy to the first statement. So once again, the Tamur Rebbe, who is showing his class what happens when one says this animal should be halved between being a Tamur's Ola and a Tamur's Shlamim, was interrupted by a Talmud who said he just did shchita with both chutz l'zmano v'chutz l'mkomo intents and asked if it was similar, while standing in front of the blackboard where the words Tvos Lashon Rishon were written. All right, so now it's time for our four blabach chazara. Daf Chavav. So the Simur Daf Chavav is a military coup. So here goes. When a soldier from the Kohen Korah military coup, that must be Moran Daf Chavav. When a soldier from the Kohen Korah military coup did long knife shechita by standing on the south side of the Mizbeach and shechting an animal on the north, which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa that kachi kachi must be shechted in Safon, the north section of the Azorah, and its blood must be received in a klisharis in Safon. Amud Badar Mahoshi Yadu Tzafon Ushachat, if he stood in the south and stretched his hand to the north and shechted there, the shechita is valid. But if he was makabo the blood this way, it's possible because the makabo himself must be in Tzafon. So when a soldier from the Kohen Korah military coup did long knife shechita by standing on the south side of the Mizbech and shechting the animal on the north, and another practiced shechting while suspended in the air, they were both declared kosher, which reminds us Shmuel's father asked Shmuel a series of questions, correcting each of Shmuel's responses, with the following laws emerging. Tal v'shachet, if one suspended a carbon in the airspace of the Azorah and shechted it, it's possible because shechita must be al yorech at the side of the Mizbeach, which it is not. If the Kohen was suspended in the air while shechting, it is valid because the shochet needs not be al yorech. So when a soldier from the Kohen Korps military coup did long knife shechita by standing on the south side of the Mizbeach and shechting the animal on the north, and another practiced shechting while suspended in the air, they were both declared kosher. But when one did zrika on the wrong part of the Mizbeach, the general said the baser is pasul, but the owner gets kapara, which reminds us the next Mishnah states that if the Kohen placed the blood on the ramp of the Mizbech instead of the wall, or on a part of the Mizbech not parallel to the Yesod, the base, as required, or above or below the red line of the Mizbech when it should have been the opposite, or on the wrong Mizbech, it's pasul. But eating the meat does not incur karis. Shmuel explains, pasul baser, the meat of the carbon is disqualified for eating of a balim and iskapru, but the owner of the carbon receives kapara. Daf Chav Zayin. So the Siman Daf Chav Zayin is a kazoo. So here goes. When the Levi played a kazoo, that must be more Daf Chav Zayin. When the Levi played a kazoo in the base of Migdash and got one Kohen so confused that he had in mind to do the Zrika tomorrow in the wrong spot on Mizbech, saving the Basar from becoming fully Pigo, which reminds us, Mazurta explained, Zrika the Sharia Basar Bachil Maisali de Pigo, a Zrika which would permit the meat in consumption can bring a carbon to Pigo, but Zrika which would not permit the Basar to be eaten anyway, such as where the blood is placed, Shalobim Komo, cannot render the carbon Pigo. So, when the Levi played a kazoo in the base of Migdash and got one Kohen so confused that he had in mind to do the Zrika tomorrow in the wrong spot in the Mizbeach, saving the Basar from becoming fully Pigel, and disoriented a second Kohen who did Zrika in the wrong place and was told he can't gather it up and start again, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a Machlokes about Yasvenu, collecting improperly placed blood from the Mizbeach to redo Zrika. So when the Levi played a kazoo in the base of Migdash and got one Kohen so confused that he had in mind to do the Zrika tomorrow in the wrong spot in the Mizbeach, saving the Basar from becoming fully Pigel, and disoriented a second Kohen who did Zrika in the wrong place, who was told he can't gather it up and start again, a third Kohen ran away from the irritating noise into the Kodesh and put his kamitza on the inner Mizbeach, where he was allowed to leave it, which reminds us, the Gemara reinterprets a brisa to mean that if foreign katoris was placed on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, it must come down, because the Mizbeach HaChitzon only sanctifies psulim, which are fit for it, as opposed to the Mizbeach HaPnimi, which sanctifies even psulim, which are not fit for it. The reason for this distinction is that the Mizbeach HaChitzon is a ritzpah, a floor of the Azara, whereas the Mizbeach HaPnimi is a klisharis, anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha, and can be mekadesh any psulim. Dav Chav Ches. So the Simmer Dav Chav Ches relates to Koach, and we use a strong man. So here goes. Well, the very strong Kohen, that must be more on Dav Chav Ches. Koach, strong man. Well, the very strong Kohen shechted a sheep, having in mind to eat the hide of its tail, Chutz Lezmano, which reminds the Gemara discusses whether the Or Ha'alya Ga'alya Dami, the intent to eat the hide of the tail of the sheep, Chutz Lezmano, is Pigel. So while the very strong Kohen shechted a sheep having a mind to eat the hide of its tail, Chutz Lezmano, his strong friend at the gym studying for an exam on the sources for Chutz Lezmano and Chutz Lezmano, which reminds the Gemara discusses the sources for Chutz Lezmano and Chutz Lezmano, and brings the psukim in Parshas Tzav and Parshas Kedoshim. So while the very strong Kohen shechted a sheep having a mind to eat the hide of its tail, Chutz Lezmano, his strong friend at the gym studying for an exam on the sources for Chutz Lezmano and Chutz Lezmano, was challenged by his trainer to hold the barbell above his head the entire time he read the lengthy pasuk in Tzav, which reminds us, the Gemara objects to the sources brought for Chutz Lezmano and Chutz Lezmano. How do we know that the Kra Aricha, the lengthy pasuk in Tzav, refers to Chutz Lezmano and thus liable to Karas, and the pasuk in Kedoshim refers to Chutz Lezmano and thus excluded from Karas? Perhaps it's the reverse. Rava ultimately concludes, Kul Mikra Aricha Asyan, all the laws are derived from the lengthy pasuk in Tzav. He proceeds to detail many laws of Pigel derived from this pasuk, including Chutz Lezmano and Chutz Lezmano. Daf Chav Tes. So the similar Daf Chav Tes is a cot. So here goes. The Kohen lying on a cot. Cot? That must mean we're on Daf Chav Tes. The Kohen lying on a cot who turned his ear to hear a Kohen say, I'm not eating Chutz Lezmano, I'm thinking about eating Chutz Lezmano, which reminds us, a Braisa analyzes the Pasuk and Sub, which says, if Shlami meat is eaten on the third day, it will be Pigel and will not be accepted. Rabbi Eliezer says, Kov Aznachal Lishmok, tilt your ear to hear the correct Pshat. The pasuk is discussing one who intends to eat of his carbon on the third day. It cannot refer to literally eating the carbon on the third day because after it was valid through the completed avoda, can it revert to become invalid by eating on the third day? So the Kohen lying on a cot who turned his ear to hear a Kohen say, I'm not eating chutz lezmano, I'm thinking about eating chutz lezmano, told everyone else to be quiet while doing the rest of the avoda so he can enjoy the pigel taking effect, which reminds us, pigel requires a karv hamatik mitzvasa without other disqualifying machshavos. So the Kohen lying on a cot who turned his ear to hear a Kohen say, I'm not eating chutz lezmano, I'm thinking about eating chutz lezmano, told everyone else to please be quiet while doing the rest of the avoda so he can enjoy the pigel taking effect. When a man named Yehuda said, it doesn't matter because we only follow the first, machshava, which reminds us, the Mishnah continues that if one intended lechol kazayis b'chutz kazayis l'machar, to consume a kazayis outside the prescribed place, and then intended to consume a kazayis the next day, or the reverse, or as such intentions about half a kazayis each, the carbon is possible and does not obligate kars, because there's another disqualifying machshava. Yehuda says we follow the first intent, kol shemachshava sazman kadma l'machshava samakom, wherever the intent of time preceded the intent of place, it is pigel and obligates kares, despite the subsequent machshava of chutz l'mkomo. But if the intent of chutz l'mkomo is first, it is pasul and not pigel. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Which daf did we learn that if one performed a vote with the intent to apply the dum in the wrong place the next day, meaning chutz lezmano, it's possible, but eating it does not incur karas? That's on daf Chav Zayin. Good. Number 2. Which daf does Rava conclude that the sources for chutz lezmano, chutz lemkomo, come from the mikra aricha, the lengthy pasuk in Parshas Tzav? That's on daf Chav Ches. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we know that doing kmitzah with the left hand is possible because the pasuk says kahuna? That's on daf Chav Dalet. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we discuss whether the or ha'alya ka'alya dami, whether the hide of the tail is considered like the tail regarding pigel? That's on daf Chav Ches. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we bring in machokas if Reb Meir's opinion is based on tvos lashon rishon? That's on daf Lamed. Good. Number 6. Which daf is proof brought that the pasuk and sub is about intent for chutz lezmano, not eating nosar? That's on daf Chav Tes. Good. Number 7. Which daf do you discuss whether two machshavos during shechita are like a case of lachatzot? That's on daf Lamed. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we discuss whether the avoda is valid if a kohen stood with one of his feet on a kli and the other foot on the floor of the base of Mikdash? That's on daf Chav Dalet. Good. Number 9. Which daf do you discuss what the din is if one said lachasos instead of tumur's ola, tumur shlamim? That's on daf Lamed. Great. And number 10. Which daf do you learn pigel requires karva matrik mitzvaso without other disqualifying machshavos? That's on daf Chav Tes. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichri wishing you a great day and great learning.